Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Today our text is taken from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which say, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." This is a wonderful challenge to Christians, especially since we're at the beginning of 2019. He's asking us to pray, and all kinds of prayers. We need to worship God and praise Him and thank Him for His blessings and benefits, but also we need to bring our own requests, our own needs before the throne of grace. But then also we need to pray for those in authority, for this world, in the lostness of this world, that people would come to Christ, and for leaders to find grace towards Christians and our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. It's a great command from Paul that we would continue to pray. Pray without ceasing, he says in another place. It's just a wonderful thing to come into God's presence in prayer as we think about Him and as we worship Him and thank Him for all His blessings and benefits that He showers upon us, that we have this great privilege to bring our petitions. And He not only hears, but He answers our prayers. What a great blessing that is for each and every one of us.
This month's Mission Moment highlights a powerful and often unseen ministry among the AKA Pygmy people through the Chemia Center, where compassionate medical care and the hope of the gospel come together in one vital outreach. This work matters because it serves men, women, and children who live deep in the forest, far from basic health care, and who are still suffering from serious tropical diseases like leprosy that most of the world has forgotten. Listeners need to understand that this is not just about treating illness. It is about restoring dignity, protecting families, and opening doors for the message of Jesus to be heard where it has rarely been clearly shared. As they hear these stories, they are invited to pray, to care, and to consider how their regular support can quite literally keep this lifeline of healing and hope alive while sharing the gospel and reaching one of the most vulnerable, unreached groups in our generation. The AKA Pygmy people of the Congo Forest are among the most vulnerable and least reached people on Earth. They live deep in the forest and along hidden waterways where tropical diseases such as leprosy, severe skin infections, malaria, and other neglected illnesses quietly destroy bodies, families, and futures. Many suffer in silence, without access to basic medical care, and without ever clearly hearing the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Mission Go Chemia Center exists right at this intersection of desperate physical need and deep spiritual lostness. It is a place where Christ's love is shown in word and deed, where wounds are cleaned, medicines are given, fear is replaced with peace, and the redemptive power of the gospel is shared with people who have long been forgotten by the rest of the world. Today, the focus is on one capital project that can transform this ministry, a fully equipped medical boat and mobile outreach system. This project goes far beyond building walls. It puts the ministry in motion, sending care and the gospel into the heart of the forest. The medical boat allows trained staff from the Chemia Center to travel along rivers and waterways to reach AKA Pygmy families who will never walk into a clinic on their own. Outfitted with basic diagnostic equipment, emergency medicines, leprosy treatment, and supplies for wound care and infection control, it becomes a floating clinic and a moving lighthouse of hope. Without this mobile outreach, the Chemia Center can only help those who manage to reach the clinic. With a medical boat, the ministry goes to them. into the deeper parts of the forest and along the surrounding waterways, exactly where the AKA pygmies live and suffer. Each trip becomes both a medical mission and a gospel mission. Patients receive treatment. Families are prayed for. The story of Jesus is shared, and relationships of trust are built village by village. This project matters because timing is everything when it comes to tropical diseases. Reaching a man or woman early, before leprosy robs them of feeling, movement, or limbs, can mean the difference between a life of disability and a life restored. Reaching a child with treatment before infection takes hold can protect an entire family. At the same time, the spiritual need is even greater. These journeys create sacred moments where the team sits by the fire, opens scripture, prays with families, and shares the good news that there is a Savior who sees them, loves them, and calls them by name. A boat, fuel, basic equipment, and supplies may sound simple, but for the AKA pygmy people, it is the bridge between isolation and community, between disease and healing, between spiritual darkness and the light of Christ. This is where each listener can play a vital part. First, pray for protection over the teams as they travel into remote regions. Pray for open hearts among the AKA pygmies. Pray that every trip would be marked by both effective treatment and clear gospel witness. Second, consider making a faithful monthly pledge toward this medical boat and mobile outreach project. Monthly partners help provide fuel and upkeep so trips can continue regularly rather than sporadically. Replacement of critical medical supplies and medicines for each journey. Training and support for local staff and volunteers who serve on these teams. A one-time gift is a blessing, and monthly support is what keeps this boat in the water and this ministry on the move. Your commitment, large or small, becomes part of every mile traveled, every wound cleaned, every child treated, and every person who hears the name of Jesus, perhaps for the very first time. The AKA pygmy people may be hidden to most of the world, but they are not hidden from God. The Kimia Center and this medical boat project are tangible expressions of Jesus sharing and loving hands reaching into the forest. Will you stand with this ministry? Will you pray, and will you become a monthly partner so that the gospel carried on the waters can reach the unreached and bring both healing and eternal hope? Invite your church, your small group, your family, and your friends to join you. Together, this generation can help write a new story for the AKA pygmies, one of restored health, redeemed lives, and churches growing where only fear and sickness once ruled. This month, we would like to make available a booklet called Prayer is the Answer by Bounds, Andrew Murray and John Wesley. This is a popular devotional book that compiles writings from these three Christian teachers, highlighting prayer as the essential, powerful, and transformative key to a Christian life, with Wesley famously stating, "God often does nothing without being asked," Murray emphasizing God's desire to bless through intercession, and Bounds detailing prayer's vital role in spiritual power and daily living. To order your copy of the booklet, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7 in the United States, Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We wish to bless your life with these messages.
Try every flow. once you see was part of God's plan when he made you and me.
In the image of God, we were created in the image of God. There's no debating, every tribe, every tongue, every single one, made with grace.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning. Printed copies are available upon request.
People who lived in Palestine when Christ was on earth enjoyed a privilege no other people have ever known. The privilege of hearing the Old Testament scriptures expounded by the Son of God. Think what it must have been like to hear Christ preach or teach a Bible class. It began when he was only 12 years old. Mary and Joseph had taken him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. You remember how he tarried behind when they started back to Nazareth, and how on their return seeking him, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the learned doctors of the Mosaic law, hearing them and asking them questions. The record says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. How would you have liked to hear him preach his great Sermon on the Mount? But even after 1900 years is quoted to this day, people who heard him at the time shook their heads and said, never man spake like this man. Some of his greatest Bible expositions were given when conversing with his 12 disciples or with only two or three of them. When he joined the two on the road to Emmaus on the day of his resurrection, Luke 24:27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What an experience that must have been. No wonder, they said afterwards, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Someday in glory we'll have the blessed privilege of sitting at his feet while he makes clear to us the many things in the scriptures which today we see only through a glass darkly and know only in part. What a day that will be. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit has recorded in the inspired scriptures many of Christ's great sermons and expositions of God's eternal truth concerning things not only past and present, but also future. I thought it would be interesting and profitable for us to examine some of Christ's discourses preserved for us in the four Gospels. Perhaps we could start with his great prophetic sermon recorded in Matthew 24. The importance of this exposition of prophetic truth is underscored by the fact the Holy Spirit included a further account of this same sermon in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, and in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll draw on all three inspired accounts in our study of what Christ said and the significance of his sermon to us in the closing years of this 20th century. I hope you'll follow closely in your Bible. You'd do well to have a notebook and pencil handy to jot down points of importance which you may want to examine in greater detail for yourself. Let's begin by noting the circumstances which moved Christ to preach his great prophetic sermon. They're described in Matthew 24:1, which says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now do you get the setting? Christ had been in the temple in Jerusalem. His 12 disciples apparently had been waiting outside. When Christ came out, they began pointing out the grandeur of the temple buildings. But Christ's comment silenced them and left them confused and bewildered. He said, "Someday these buildings are going to be destroyed. There will not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." In silence, they followed him the short distance to the Mount of Olives. And there, when he had sat down, they came to him privately and asked him two questions. "Master, we're confused about what you said about the destruction of the temple. Please tell us, one, when shall these things be? And two, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" The great prophetic sermon he then preached was his response to the questions they had asked. Now, before we go further, let me draw your attention to the matter of Christ's prediction that the temple buildings will be destroyed. It's commonly held that his prediction was fulfilled when the Romans destroyed the temple in AD 70. While it is true the Romans destroyed the temple building, they were not totally destroyed. There remains intact to this day the famous Wailing Wall, as it has come to be called, where for centuries Jews have lamented the destruction of their temple and prayed for its restoration and for the peace of Jerusalem. But Christ said the destruction of which he spoke would be complete. His exact words were, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, this did not happen in the destruction of AD 70. There must, therefore, remain a future destruction of a restored temple in order for Christ's words to be literally fulfilled. This directs our attention to an important aspect of Bible prophecy. Many prophecies have both a partial or shadowy as well as a literal fulfillment. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Malachi 4, 5, and 6, God says the prophet Elijah, or Elias, will be sent back to this earth before the great day of Christ's second coming. In Matthew 17, after their experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw Christ as he will be at his coming, the disciples ask him in verse 10, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" Christ replied, "I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. You see, the coming of John the Baptist was a preliminary or shadowy fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy that Elias or Elijah will be sent back to this earth prior to Christ's return to establish his kingdom. The literal fulfillment will be when Elijah comes back in person prior to Christ's second coming. Another example is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the assembled disciples and empowered them to speak in the language of people of other tongues gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Peter, by way of explanation, read from chapter 2 of the prophet Joel, where God says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now what happened at Pentecost was only a partial or shadowy fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. God's Spirit was not poured out upon all flesh. There's no mention of old men dreaming dreams or young men seeing visions. And certainly the sun wasn't darkened or the moon turned to blood. These things will take place when Joel's prophecy is literally fulfilled immediately prior to Christ's personal return to this earth. A partial or shadowy fulfillment, a literal fulfillment. What happened to the temple buildings in Jerusalem in AD 70 was the partial fulfillment of Christ's prophecy. It will be literally fulfilled when the rebuilt temple is destroyed in the days of the coming Antichrist, immediately prior to Christ's return. Now back to his prophetic sermon recorded in Matthew 24. Read it carefully and you'll discover that his discourse had six parts. In verses 4 to 8, he talks about what he calls the beginning of sorrows. In verses 9 to 14, he gives an overview of future world conditions and how they will affect the people of God. In verses 15 to 28, he deals with a specific future time which he describes as a time of great tribulation. Then in verses 29 to 36, he describes the day of his return. In verses 37 to 44, he outlines the signs that will warn of the nearness of his coming. And he concludes in verses 45 to 51 by describing two groups of servants and how the Lord will deal with them at his return. Let's look now at his opening comments recorded in verses 4 to 8. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now what he seems to be saying is that in the early stages of the period between the removal of his church at the end of this present age of God's grace and his second coming to destroy the Antichrist and establish his kingdom of heaven on this earth, seven conditions which he calls the beginning of sorrows will develop. These will be widespread religious deception. Religious leaders will rise claiming to be Christ. Keep in mind the world will have been shaken by the removal of all Christians at the translation of the church, and discussions will rage as to Christ's role in what had taken place. Spurious religious charlatans will capitalize on the superstitious fear and confusion that will prevail. There will be a rapid increase in world tensions. The hollowness of the phony peace overtures which are building false hopes in many today will become apparent. The media will be filled with reports of minor wars and rumors of wars. International tensions will lead to open confrontations between nations. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. The situation will be aggravated by widespread famines and strange pestilences and devastating earthquakes, giving rise to apprehension and fear. All these things, Christ said, are but the beginning of sorrows. God willing, we'll focus on the next section of his sermon, in which he gives an overview of the conditions resulting from these preliminary developments and how they will affect the people of Israel, which once more will occupy the center of the world stage as the people of God after the Christian church of this age has been removed. I hope you'll join us, and I hope you'll encourage others to listen also. As we close today, I remind you again that many of these conditions which Christ said will develop in the future will be preceded by shadowy or partial fulfillments in advance of their literal fulfillment at that time. Now, all around us today, we can see conditions which parallel in many respects those Christ predicts for that future. This fact is a clear indication that the time of which he spoke is drawing near. The account of the same prophetic sermon recorded in Luke 21 tells us that Christ also said, "When these things begin to come to pass," notice the precise words, "begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That's our message to you today. The consummation of your redemption, if you're a Christian, will be when Christ appears and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, removes his universal church from this earth. The developing events, the beginning of sorrows, evident throughout the earth today, are intended to remind you that the hour of Christ's appearing for his church is very near at hand. Now, are you ready? Are you truly a Christian in the Bible sense of the term? Is Jesus Christ in possession of your life as your personal Savior and Lord? Have you ever asked him to save you and give you the priceless gift of eternal life? If not, won't you bow your head and ask him now?
We at Mission Go pray. This message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Burr, Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." This month, we would like to make available a booklet called Prayer is the Answer by Bounds. Andrew Murray and John Wesley is a popular devotional book that compiles writings from these three influential Christian figures, highlighting prayer as the essential, powerful, and transformative key to a Christian life. With Wesley famously stating, "God often does nothing without being asked," Murray emphasizing God's desire to bless through intercession, and Bounds detailing prayer's vital role in spiritual power and daily living. To order your copy of the booklet, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, P.O. Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R7A7 in the United States, Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. For any further questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email Tammy Campbell at tjcampbell@missiongo.org.